Welcome to the Yes to Entrepreneurship podcast. So real quick, before I jump into the conversation with this week's guest, I just want to let you know what this show's about. Really, this show is just about all the conversations we entrepreneurs, those of us who are the why notters, have around entrepreneurship. It's the conversation that you don't typically hear because you just see those fun posts on Instagram and Facebook where we're hanging out on yachts or we're making a ton of money and driving these fancy cars, when reality is, that's not real life. Real life is trying to figure out how you're gonna pay bills, trying to figure out if you're gonna make rent this month, trying to figure out if that new client really is gonna help move you forward or if they're really gonna bring you down. Really, anything goes in these conversations. And you, the listener, gets to eavesdrop in on these conversations that I'm having with fellow entrepreneurs. So grab your cup of coffee, grab your water, grab your tea, whatever it is that you enjoy, and a pen and paper because you're about to take some notes. Also, be sure to share this out. Oh, here comes my guest. Talk to you soon. Quick shout out to our sponsor, StupidEasy.com. StupidEasy.com is a new online course platform where you can easily upload and sell your online courses without having to be tech savvy and without them taking a cut of your sales. Discover more at StupidEasy.com and we'll have a link in the show notes for you. Tell me a lot more about your entrepreneur journey, because I know we hang out a lot online. This is the first time we get to hang out in person.
Yeah, you can check in them off.
Yes. And I want to know more about like how you got started.
So I kind of like fell into entrepreneurship. This is really funny. At San Francisco State, where I was going to school at, I couldn't get my classes straight because that's how universities do it now. You have to cut people's throats to get into classes. So nobody wanted to take entrepreneurship classes. So it was an elective. I think I wanted to do like marketing or management or something. So you could take this class as an elective. And I ended up taking it, and then one day I was sitting in class, like the first couple of classes, and I was like, I want to open my own spa. I was like, this is, I could actually be an entrepreneur. I was like, I could open my own spa and just like hang out at my spa every day, and I could be my own boss. And I was like, I think this is what I was meant to do. So I ended up switching my major to entrepreneurship, and I've loved it. I've loved it ever since. I've read all the books, I go to all the seminars. Like, it's a totally different world.
Yeah.
Versus my classmates who were being trained to enter the corporate workforce. So that journey has led me to meet people like you, to meet lots of people online, joining these groups, networking is the name of the game. So yeah. Meeting all of these incredible people who have their own unique ideas and their vision of how they're going to change the world. And it's been exciting like every day. So I feel at home with it.
I love it. And when you talk about these groups, are you talking about like Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups? Like where are these places online?
Yeah, so I was attending like in-person networking things, which okay. is funny because in San Francisco you would think that the quality of these things would be way better, but it's actually not. And for some reason I'm really awkward when I first meet people, you know, like breaking the ice and everything.
Yeah, but, me too.
You know, online, like being in Facebook groups and meeting people that way, you could just go in there and be you, and you don't have to like try and be somebody that you're not, which is what I was doing in person. You know, I'm trying to meet these people.
This is what it looks like.
And sell them this person that I really wasn't. But I found that meeting people through online groups, via Facebook, via LinkedIn. I prefer Facebook.
Yeah, me too.
But the people that you meet in there, they will attract to you. And then the people that don't, like if you're in a room with all of these people, you would have to talk to people that you're like not necessarily jiving with. But if you're online, you can put yourself out there and then let those people who think kind of like on that same path attract to you.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like walking into the room and those people that you would have made a connection with automatically like coming up to you.
That's a good point, because I also think about it too, what just when you said that, I was thinking, well, another thing too is that if you're in Facebook groups, you actually get to read what people are posting, so you're more likely to reach out to them.
Yeah.
Versus like if you go to one of these networking events in person, if you don't know anybody, you're kind of standing there with a drink in your hand and waiting to see like if anybody comes up to you, or you know, like you just don't know. But in a Facebook group online, you can see their profile, you can see what they've posted, and you can just drop a comment and see if the conversation starts from there.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like
which
that.
Removes the awkwardness. So if you're an introvert like myself, I mean, I was really awkward with people in person because I'm just shy. But like you and I, we just sat down at this table and just started.
Right.
You know, like we just went for it because we were able to like cultivate that relationship online. And yeah, it's just so much easier. It's so much easier. So I would say start with a Facebook group online.
Yeah.
Meet your group, your people, find them, and then you can go meet up with them in person.
Right.
But even if you don't meet up with them in person, you've still found somebody in like some random place that you never would have met.
Yep.
Because how would you meet them? You wouldn't go to a networking event.
Sure. Yeah. And so how long have you been? I mean, obviously, entrepreneurs. You've been doing entrepreneurship forever. But what are you currently doing, like for work and stuff?
So, I have found my groove with communities. So it's funny that we would have this conversation about all of it because that's the road just kind of naturally paved itself.
Yeah.
And I have like found my home, which is community. So I am doing community strategy for mostly Facebook groups. I'm branching out and learning like the LinkedIn game, but Facebook for me is just the number one platform. I mean, they kill themselves in rebirth every day.
Yep.
That's the name of their game, and that's why I love being on their platform. So I also have found that I am really good at membership site retention, so getting people to stick around in your community. So my thing right now is helping people come up with a strategy of how to build that community, and then how do you keep people in that community.
Love it. That's a big one, right? Because at the end of the day, it's all about community. If you don't have community, then you don't have anything.
Yeah, which is where everything's headed. If you don't build a community around your product, you're boring.
Yep.
People want access to you, and Facebook has made it stupid easy. Yep. We'll see how many times we can stick that in there.
Right?
They've made it so easy for you to give parts of yourself away and then take parts of yourself back.
Right.
You know, you can give out and pull in on so many different levels.
Yeah, no, definitely. And what's been like a struggle? It could be a recent struggle or just in general coming into entrepreneurship, because that's always not such a straight and narrow path.
Right. So this is our topic for today, right? Which is failure. Because that path that I'm talking about that's been paved naturally for me, was a failure after failure after failure after failure. And it's so funny to me that anytime you talk about entrepreneurship, they always say like the definition of entrepreneurship is failing 9 times out of 10, but you're getting back up. But the problem is that you can't ever admit your failures until you're on, you know, you've made it,
right?
You got $1 million in the bank, and then it's okay to admit your failures, right? I wouldn't necessarily say that I've made it. I mean, I'm on the come up. I've just found my groove and I'm settling into it.
Right.
Still gaining my voice. But I have we'll start with a 101 failure.
Yeah.
Right. So when I was at SF State, San Francisco State University, that's where I started out as a freshman. We had 2 semesters to get through these basic algebra math classes. I mean, these are like middle school algebra courses, right? So I didn't pass the class. They sent me to summer school to pass the class. Didn't pass it. I thought it'd be way more cool to like go out and party and have fun rather than work on my math.
Right.
But I ended up failing that, and the consequence was I got kicked out of school and I was sent to City College. They said, take that one math class, knock out some other GEs while you're there, and then you can come back. Well, I didn't know that that was going to turn into a two-year process. I questioned if I was going to finish school at that point.
Sure.
My mom told me, well, I sent you there for school, so if you're not going to go to school, you might as well come on back. So I got back into it, somehow managed to pass that class. I had an angel that fell into my lap in that class and became a really good friend. But he helped me pass. I passed 69.9. So here's the funny thing. I failed that class so many times that in order to register for that math class, I had to go see the dean of math. Did you even know there's a dean of math? There's a dean of math.
I did not.
So I had to go meet with the dean, and the dean tells me, he's looking at my transcripts. I was an AB student. And he goes, so what's your problem? He's like, I don't get it. You're a good student. He's like, do you not like it? Like, what's the problem? And I was like, I don't know. I just don't get it. Like, as soon as you say the word cosine to me, like, I'm done for the rest of the semester. So he's like, well, we're going to send you to be tested so that way we can rule out any learning disabilities. So I got tested for a learning disability. Turns out that I actually tested in a genius level on some of those areas. As far as memory, I tested as a genius. It only takes two kids, by the way, to be knocked out of the genius category, and now I have Dory memory. But the lady, after we did the test, she was like, there's definitely not a learning disability. I think you just don't like math.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I can take that. I had one shot left to take that class, and then I was going to be sent to Skyline, which I didn't have any way to get there. I didn't have a car. Skyline is in Pacifica.
Right, right, right.
So I would have had to take the bus. Anyways, the dean was like, just pass this class, please. Like, that's all you got to do. Pass it. So I passed it, 69.9, and then I went back to state. Where I started my entrepreneurship path. So that was probably my biggest failure. I mean, that was four semesters, so that was 2 years of me failing the class.
Yeah.
It's a great joke at Thanksgiving time because my family eats it up. They think it's hilarious. My best friend, when I graduated, sent me flowers and a little card that said, I can't believe you passed math class. Like, that's all it said. That was a 2.5 year failure, because if you count summer school, that was 2.5 years
sure.
of me failing, wondering, am I going to get past this? Am I going to get back to my school where I can finish my degree?
Right.
My mom sent me here. My family's like counting on me. And I didn't want to go crawling back as a failure, you know, because right. I couldn't pass math class.
Right. Like, and that's a lot of pressure.
It is, yeah. So I did it. So that was a big lesson for me. I couldn't believe that I actually did it, but I gained some momentum after that. A year and a half later, I would get pregnant with my daughter. I was a junior, so the entrepreneurship track at my school is extremely difficult. She mimics it from the real world, so that way if you, 1 out of 10 businesses fails, right?
Right.
So she made the program where 1 out of 10 students would fail.
Wow.
Because you can't hack it in a classroom, you can't hack it in the real world. So
jeez.
Yeah, so it was cutthroat. She was pretty lenient with me because I did have a baby, so she's like, you know, you got a lot going on, and I think she basically was like, if you stick with it, you keep coming back and you put the work in,
yeah,
you know, it's gonna happen for you. So I watched a lot of people get kicked out of that program, and I did it with a baby on my hip. But during that process, I had a baby. It was my senior year at this point. I had an internship. It was madness. I cried every morning. I cried every night. It was hard. But I did it. I graduated. We made it happen. My husband and I just had to lean into each other and make that happen. And it happened. I graduated. And then after that, it was kind of like, well, what's next? You know, I'm an entrepreneur, so the world is mine. I can do whatever I want. I was going through depression the entire time of my senior year, but I was distracted with what was going on. This paper has to get done. This assignment has to get done. The baby's crying. So I kind of like put it on the back burner. And then once all of that got taken away, it was just me and my daughter, I had to face it. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't even at the time make the connection that it was because I had postpartum depression that I just let continue on and I just tried to ignore it. I ended up going to the doctor and telling them, like, you know, this is really tough. And I was writing at the time, and I told my brother, one day we're on the phone, and I was like, I came up with this great story. And so I start telling my brother the story, and it was about a girl who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, wow.
And after I said that, my brother was dead silent, and I think that told me everything that I needed to know in that moment. I didn't realize that my thoughts were suicidal at that point. And I would like to say at that point it got better, but it didn't. My brother kind of just put a mirror in front of my face and was like, you know, this is a problem and I'm worried about you. And so I was like, okay, I'll go to the doctor, talk to my husband about it. And he's like, let's work it out.
Right.
The doctor did what a doctor does. He gave me a prescription to some drug. And it takes 3 weeks for it to kick in.
Sure.
It didn't take 24 hours before I started hearing voices.
Oh, jeez.
And it was so scary because you can sit there and tell yourself, like, this isn't real, this isn't happening. But voices were telling me that my cousin was going to leave me. And so he came home. I mean, my husband was everything to me. I wouldn't have gotten anywhere without him. And I was like, if he leaves me, like, what am I? Who am I? And I started telling him, like, people are telling me you're going to leave me. And he's like, what people?
Oh, jeez.
And I couldn't explain to him, like, voices. I was like, there's people that are telling me that.
Yeah.
And so I just started crying. And I was like, I don't know who's telling me this, but somebody's telling me this. So we went back to the doctor. And the doctor goes, oh, yeah, hearing voices is a side effect. Because not everybody gets it, so we don't talk about it. But this is a normal side effect. And I was like, that's not normal.
Right.
That's not normal. And how is that making me better to, like, hear voices? So I got off of the medication, and I got a gym membership instead.
Nice.
So I started making a little bit of progress. I got a part-time job at the restaurant that my husband was working at. Got me out of the house for a couple of hours. So at this point, I wanted to start a life coaching business. So it goes to show you, like, how, like, out of sync I was. Like,
sure.
I was a very sick person at the time trying to start a life coaching business.
Right.
So I messaged a friend who was doing really well at the time, and I was like, hey, I'm starting this life coaching thing, and I need some people to practice on. So we met up, and we started talking about things, and he was like, I don't think that I'm the person that can, like, help you with this. And he's like, I think you should talk to my mom. So I met up with his mom, and it was a super rainy day, and I, like, had to climb mountains to get to that Starbucks. It was crazy. And we almost canceled it. But I'm glad we didn't, because that day saved my life. And I had my daughter in my hands, and I was sitting there telling her, like, I just don't know if I can do this anymore. And she's like, I've been there. So she starts telling me about her struggles with raising her kids and how isolating it is. And she's like, she just grabs my hand and she goes, you're not alone. And that was all in that moment that I needed to hear.
Yeah.
I didn't get better after that immediately, but I never forgot those words.
Right.
She's like, you're not alone. There's so many other moms that are going through that, but we're supposed to be strong, and we're not supposed to tell people, like, I'm having suicidal thoughts, or I'm thinking, like, I don't want to be a mom anymore, like, I'm trapped, I'm alone, and that day saved my life, because I was already having daily thoughts about jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Right.
And for one person to just say to me, you're not alone, I still don't think she understands the impact. Hopefully after she listens to this podcast,
sure,
she'll understand that she saved my life. But every time I see somebody like going through those same struggles that I went through as a mother, and like you could see the depression on them, there's side effects of depression. I grind my teeth a lot, and I had to have I had to replace all my teeth.
Wow.
Because I was anxious and nervous all the time, and I grinded all of my fillings out.
Oh.
So I wouldn't brush my hair. I didn't want to take care of myself. Like, those are all side effects of depression. So if I if I see somebody going through those things, I just say what she said. Like, no. I might say it casually. I don't do it like, you know, that deep moment she and I had. But it's like, I'm not alone. You know, like, all moms feel that way. I just don't want to admit it.
Right.
You know, I'll like casually drop it in there and hope that they remember later on. Like, okay, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And that goes for anybody who's dealing with that. Because I know you're like an advocate of suicide prevention, right?
So, yeah.
That was the first time I went through depression. The second time was my husband and I were considering moving to Mexico. And we wanted to start a business down there. We wanted to build our lives down there. He had a house built down there. So it was kind of just like we could just ease into that life.
Sure.
And, so I was like, well, I'll go down first. We'll start the business. And that'd be great. Everything's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Right? That's how entrepreneurship always starts. I'm like,
right,
here's my idea, and like we're gonna be rich and like happy the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
So I convinced him that everything was gonna be great. We moved down there. Wow. My life changed forever after that. I was only down there for like maybe 6 months. I started a business called Mushlandia, and it was a place for kids to come, like kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't speak Spanish, which is fun. If you go down to Mexico and you don't speak Spanish, you're in for an adventure.
Especially trying to start a business.
Yes, and start a business at the same time. I was definitely ambitious. So my mom funded the adventure. She funded all my adventures, but you know, she put pretty penny down for this one, and everything looked right from the outside. A lot of money was funneling in to this small town, and people were opening up businesses left and right because this town had like new money in it. So lots of restaurants, lots of bars,
okay,
all of that. So, but there was nothing for the kids. So we started this place. It was incredible. I'll show you the pictures.
Yeah.
But I built this little city, and it was each building was like a movie theater, and then like an art studio, and then a little kitchen where they could have their little restaurant.
Oh, cool.
It's to this day like the coolest thing that I've ever created. And
yeah,
when I look at the pictures, like if anybody's had a business that they put their heart and their soul into and it failed, seeing those pictures, like, I want to shed tears every time that I look at those pictures. And Facebook keeps popping them up,
yeah,
in my feed, you know, as memories. And I'm like, okay. So here's a funny thing. A million things went wrong. A million things. I didn't speak Spanish. I learned it on the fly.
Yeah.
I learned it by starting a business. I learned it from going to build the city. I had to have an electrician because we built lighting and all this, so I had to get an electrician. I had to meet a landlord for the space.
Sure.
I had everything made out of wood, so we had to go meet with a carpenter. We had curtains made, so I had to go meet with a seamstress. The marketing. So in Mexico, they don't, the way they advertise, you put an announcement on a truck and they drive around and they announce your place, right? So that's how they find out about new businesses.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. Nobody told me until we closed. But this also happened when Mexico was electing their new president.
Oh, right.
So all of the announcements that were going around on the trucks were all political announcements. So I think had I still put it on there, it would have gotten drowned out with all the political stuff.
Sure.
And they're very passionate about their politics because it's electing one corrupt leader or this corrupt leader. So right. It's a very like high stressful time for them. I had a friend down there who is from San Francisco, and she built a pizza business down there, and she started telling me how you run a business in Oshkutskop, which is where we were. And I was like, well, I have an entrepreneurship degree and you run a pizza place, so you know, I don't want to say like, well, what do you know, but I definitely treated it like that. But this is a woman who had been down there for years and she knew the people.
Sure.
The market research was done. And so a big lesson for me was a lot of times the market research is done and people might tell you about it, but you might disregard it because like you feel like you need to find out for yourself, right?
Yep.
It was a massive waste of time.
Market research is huge.
It is, yeah.
And it takes a lot of time, but it pays off.
So one of the things that she was telling me was that people aren't willing to spend money on their kids. And I didn't believe that. I was like, that's not true. Like, there were a ton of kids. Like, there's 10 kids per household.
Right.
I was like, they want something to do. But they didn't value entertainment for their kids, like, the way that we do up here.
Right.
And so that was another contributor to us failing. Everything came to a head when I found out that I can't even believe I'm not crying about this because this breaks my heart every time I think about it. But I found out that there was a guy who was helping me to get to all of these people that I needed to meet. I found out that he was going to them before our meeting, and he was telling them like, "There's this American girl, and I'm going to bring her in, and you know, you might charge $500, 500 pesos for this." Tell her it's 1,000.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So, I mean, we probably met with like 15 different people in that town. I gave business to everybody in that town. I also got screwed over by everybody in that town.
Right.
I mean, who goes to start a business and get screwed over by the entire town? I mean, this is a joke.
Yeah.
I have to be like one of the biggest jokes in that town at this point. You know, like everybody took advantage of the situation. So I probably wasted a couple of grand on just me being American and people like screwing me over. And I, at the time, I never even knew that like people do those things.
Sure.
But in a place where you don't know where you're going to eat or when you're going to eat or like when the money is going to come in for you to eat, they use those tactics.
Sure.
And it's a survival thing, which I can let go now. You know, I'm like, okay, they had to do what they had to do to eat.
Right.
They royally screwed me over, and that was a huge lesson learned. But when I came back to the States, because I gave people jobs. That
sure.
was the first time in my life I gave 15 people a job.
Which is so rewarding in
it
itself.
Is.
It's
yeah.
such a great feeling.
It is. I came back and I was like, I went out to live my dream and give people jobs and change people's lives. I ended up getting stabbed in the back. And I came back here and was right back in the hole that I had been in before I left and ended up going through depression all over again because I lost the business that I loved, that
right.
I put my heart and soul into. I felt betrayed by people that I thought were wanted to help me do good.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not what happened. So I think at this point I've learned to mourn the loss of a business and of an idea that meant everything to me. And you know, there's a ton of lessons that came out of that. And I think looking back on it now and having some time between that situation and myself, that I'm so much stronger and so much wiser because that happened to me.
Yep.
And now I speak Spanish.
See, it sucks that you had to go through those motions to get where you are now,
yeah.
but to be able to look back at the quote failure and realize that it was an opportunity that you now can look back at and say, you know, I learned from that. Because not a lot of people can look back and they don't want to look at it as a lesson learned. They just want to stick with it's a failure, when in reality you can't. Because if you want to keep going and you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to have a successful business, you have to look back and say, okay, what didn't work, why, and how is it going to be different this time?
Exactly.
You know?
So my most recent failure, it just keeps coming. I became a personal trainer because I cured depression on my own. I started going to the gym, and you know, you read that all the time that exercise is the best thing for depression, and it's the truth. I mean, if anybody's going through depression right now, if you just start, go out for a walk, get some air, get some blood pumping through your body, it is way better than taking a pill that makes you hear voices.
Oh, sure.
So I became a personal trainer because I wanted to, I wanted that. That was going to be like my message to the world as a trainer.
Because personal trainers basically are entrepreneurs. Even if you work at a gym, you're still pretty much an entrepreneur.
Yeah, totally. So I decided that I wanted to do a competition because one of my trainers told me, you know, unfortunately, even though it's not like a good thing, nobody takes you seriously unless you do a competition. So I was like, I'll do a competition. Sure, why not? I ended up, first of all, I learned a lot about the human body and like how it works. It's how does the calories in, calories out thing really work, and how does it apply? And there's so many different variables to it, and I learned all of those variables through this competition. What's funny is that I signed up for the bikini class when I should have signed up for the bodybuilding class. Because I'm half Hawaiian, so naturally I'm built. This is true. Like, I'm built differently than like a girl who would compete in bikini. And so, like, bikini girls, it's harder for them to do bodybuilding because it's more work for them. Whereas for me, it's more natural. Bikini's more natural for them. But I was like, no, I'm gonna do bikini because it's cool.
Yeah.
that was mistake number one. Was thinking like I could put myself in a class that really wasn't for me, like trying to fit a mold that literally did not fit me.
Sure.
It was the most vain experience that I've ever been through. If you want to meet a mean girl, you should do a competition, and I don't care if they come after me for saying that. I had to starve myself. I had to starve myself to get down to 120 pounds.
Jeez.
And so, just to give you some perspective, right now I'm 190 pounds, like 120 pounds. I had to lose, like, imagine 70 pounds gone off of me to get into this bikini and like fit this mold.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was starving myself. I was going insane from starving myself. And then the day of the competition, we were in Sacramento, and I took a picture and sent it to this guy that was helping me, and he was like, "You're not ready." I was like, "You're not ready." He's like, "I think 2 more weeks." There was another competition happening. He's like, "You can do 2 more weeks, and you can enter that competition, and I think you'll be able to place." And I was like, "I can't. I cannot keep starving myself like this." Like, psychologically I was done, physically I was done, I was tired, and I was like, I'm going out there today and this is it, I'm done after this.
Yeah.
I was the fattest girl there. And literally, I'm not even lying, like
the healthiest, obviously.
Yes. So you can Google my name, and my competition pictures that are actually like out there will show up on my Facebook profile. And I've never talked about this, and my friends and family knew I was doing it, but I've never shown them the pictures. On my Facebook profile, my husband took one picture of me, and it was blurry, which I haven't. I just took it down, actually, but that's the one that I had up. Because it was embarrassing. I mean, if you've seen these girls, and you know like what a bikini competitor should look like, and you saw me, like, There were girls whispering about me backstage, literally talking about me. Like, I can hear you. I know what you're saying. Everybody's, like, staring at me. I have never been so uncomfortable in my body, and I've never been so skinny in my life.
Right.
And that just seems to me like, in my head, if I was really skinny, I thought that maybe I might feel good about myself. I never felt worse about myself.
Yeah.
I was probably I hated myself and my body and my brain and like everything the most at that point, when it should have been like my victory lap. It created a really sick relationship with food. And so actually these girls, if you ever follow their Instagram pages, they'll do their competition, and then backstage they'll hold up a dozen donuts. And that's like the thing, is once you finish your competition, everybody has like a dozen donuts sitting there waiting for them, and they're all downing a dozen donuts.
Yeah, because they're all hungry.
Yeah. I don't see how that's good for anybody. And the months to follow were really hard, because you have to retrain yourself on how to have a good relationship with food.
Right.
And it took me months to accept myself again, because I knew what I looked like and what my clothes felt like when I was super skinny. But now I was chubby again. And not only that, I didn't know how to eat properly. And that's a trainer.
Yeah, you know, so
that was a battle that I had with my mind and my body that I've moved past. And now I'm like, you know what? And my husband has led me through every step of the way. And so I told my husband, like, yes, I am who I am, and you're going to have to love me either way.
Right.
And he was like, that's always been the case. Like, nothing ever changed about that. Even when I was in the deepest, darkest hell of depression, my husband still looked at me the way he does today.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I have failed mentally, physically, through business, everything. And a couple, like maybe a year ago, I found that I was pregnant with my son, and I was like, God, I can't have another kid and like bring him into this world and I'm still a failure. Like, I have nothing to show for any of these years that I've been here. Like, I have nothing to show. I have nothing to provide this child. I started thinking about it, and I was like, I have everything
I love
to
it.
Provide, right? This is great, like, coffee time story. Like, I could tell you stories for days about, like, my time in Oshkoshkoshko. Like, I have seen things that are, like, hilarious. I'm like, I know how to make people laugh. I always, like, make fun of Mexicans because, like, I live there. And, like, I was a gringa living there. So I like, make fun of the things that they do. And, like, it cracks them up. It tickles them. They love it. They're like, yeah, we do that. And they're like, yeah, I don't know how to do that. We do that. I have an ability now to connect with people that other people don't.
Right.
I can, you know, if you're having a hard time, I can make you laugh by bringing up my failure. And I'm like, oh yeah? Well, I was the fattest personal trainer at this competition. And I'm like, it opens, these failures open doors for me. They open doors for me because I can connect with people. And that's when, before this, we started this podcast, you and I sat here and talked about connection for a very long time, right?
Right.
Because that's the name of the game. I can get on so many people's levels and talk about anything, but I can hit rock bottom and lift somebody else up.
Right.
Like, I can show you what rock bottom looks like and help lift that person up. Because I'm like, you're not there yet. You're not at rock bottom. Like, I've been at rock bottom, and I can tell you what it looks like. Each one of those things has, like, taught me a lesson. And it's funny how the forces of nature, like, come together to form that path that
right.
I was talking about that's, like, led me to where I am today. Last summer, I randomly got this job at this company where I met the lady that I'm working for now, Lindsay. And my life has skyrocketed ever since. We need to do an entire podcast on One Connection.
Yeah.
Because the power of One Connection is so real. I'm here because of Lindsay. Like, I know you because of Lindsay.
Yeah.
Right? At One Connection.
We totally should on my Check With Ed podcast.
Yeah, we need to. Yeah. Ask the boss.
Yep.
So, I could say, like, was backdated since when we started, right when I was failing my math class. I was 18 when that happened. Up until now, I'm 30. And I'll be 31 next month. So 13 years, right?
Yeah.
Not 13 years. I failed math class, right? I failed math class, so I don't take the blame for that. But that's 13 years of failure. That's a solid number, right?
Yeah.
Because those 13 years were so tough. Failure after failure after failure. And all of a sudden, one person got introduced to me and has cracked the ceiling wide open for me and has let me, I feel like this is kind of like letting go of that dead weight so that I can continue to soar.
Sure.
And that's the power of when you keep going. You know, they say like the universe has your back. And I'm not like, I'm not a really woo-woo person, but I can get woo-woo.
Yeah.
But the universe does have your back if you're paying attention.
Right.
It
you
does
have, to be
have
aware.
Your back. Yeah. And that one connection that I was given is changing my life. Literally changing my life.
I love it. And that's the thing. It only takes one. You know, we, especially in business, if you're in the service or you're selling products, we want to sell to everyone. We want to have everyone as a client, and especially starting out, right? Because we just want to get a paycheck so we can keep doing what we're doing. But then as you grow and evolve, hopefully you realize that you don't want everyone as a client, and you don't want to sell a ton of products if you don't have to, because if you can just focus on just a few, less is more, right? Just a few, especially when it comes to client work, then you're able to do so much more, and you're so much more happier because you're not stressed out and overworked and trying to figure out what you have to do next, you know? So, yeah, the power of one connection is huge.
Yeah.
I love that.
It is, yeah. It saved me, honestly, because, I mean, I can't tell you how much of a whirlwind my life has been in the past year. And it's continuing to grow because of just a seed.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this comes from just a seed. So, you, in entrepreneurship, you're not allowed to talk about your failures because, I mean, you know, who am I right now? Who am I at this point? You have to, in order to validate these failures, up until now, like, I'm still a failure, right? Until I do make it and I can look from the top of the mountain and say, like, okay, I had these stumbles on the mountain, but, like, I'm here. Like, I still see the mountain up there, but I'm closer.
Yep.
And I'm able to look back and say, I stumbled all of these years on these things, but I'm still moving forward. I'm still moving to the top of the mountain. And for people who don't have anything to show for what they've done except failure, there's so much beauty in it. There's so much, and it took me years to accept it and to learn that something good has to come out of that. And nobody, like, my mom has funded all of this, and it's crazy. Like, you have people that believe in you,
right?
And like, my mom has never said, like, she put down a lot of money for me to go to Mexico, and she ate it. You know, she ate it. She's your first investor is a full friend and family, right? My mom was all three. My mom was to my family, was my friend, and she was like, it's cool. But I have to see, like, my mom is somebody who's put up with that.
Yeah.
She has never once told me, you're not gonna make it.
Right.
Ever.
My mom's the same way.
Yeah. And I want to be that parent. You know, I want to be like, okay, I've seen you, like, royally fall on your face a couple times, but I'm going to still keep supporting you. I'm going to still keep you moving forward. And you are blessed to have those people in your life. And if you have them, you have to latch onto them.
Yes.
And, you know, I wouldn't be who I am if my mom didn't believe in my dreams and if my husband wasn't there for that daily grind.
Right.
Because both of them are really good for that. My mom is great for helping me see the bigger vision, but she's not in the daily grind with me. My husband is.
Yeah.
And those are two separate people that serve different purposes for me in my life. But my husband is, you know, when you're going through depression and you're seeing somebody that you love go through it, it's really hard to not say, like, snap out of it, 'cause I'm tired of it. You have to say, like, I love you today, I loved you yesterday, I love you tomorrow. Like, you just have to hold their hand and, like, walk through it, no matter how painful it is.
Sure.
So it's helped me to realize that those people in my life love me, care about me, and no matter what my failures are, you're still going to have a cheering section. I might not have a tribe that's right. there cheering, but that's my tribe, my mom and my husband, right? And then, like, little by little, people start to, like, you know, connect with you. So failure is what you want to make of it.
Yep.
You can, a lot of people make money off of their failures, you know, right. like, everybody loves a good failure story.
Yep.
Because it makes people real and you can connect with them. That's why we love when these high figures tell us about, like, Jill Stanton, when she was talking about when they launched their first course. Nobody bought it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, here's somebody who made it and they're telling us about a time when they didn't, but the common theme is they all kept moving.
Right.
They all kept moving. You just keep trekking up the mountain. Like, yep. even when the storms come, you just keep trekking up it.
It's so true. And that's the thing about entrepreneurship is that you really have to keep moving forward. And that's why I tell people, you know, it's not a failure. It's an opportunity. You know, look at it, the strengths and opportunities, and see what you can do different and to learn from that. And, you know, when you really break it down, I mean, if you think about it, almost every single business is born out of failure, because chances are it's not their first rodeo. And if it is, then they've figured it out pretty quickly. You know, there's always going to be mistakes. And it's funny, the other day I was listening to a podcast that had talked something about the effect that we were just saying, about, you know, you can't really talk about your failures unless you've made it to the top, right? But and that to me just didn't feel right, because I was like, I get it, because you want to have, you know, as the person who's quote on the top, you want to have that credibility that you got there and that you can show that you had the failure, but then you had the success. But at the same time, nowadays, I feel like it's so important to still talk about it in the beginning, middle, and end. Because, and I get that some people might look at you and say, well, you don't have your stuff together, so how are you going to get my stuff together? But it depends on how you package it and how you show that, you know, like you kept going. You're not going to let it stop you. Yes, you had these things happen, and yes, it was tough, but you didn't let it stop you. And so you're going to keep going. And again, you just have to be one step ahead of somebody in order to help them get to the next level, you know. I was talking about this on my other podcast, Check with Ed, the other day, is that, you know, are you an expert? That was a question that came up in a webinar I was on. And for the first time, I actually answered that straightforward. Like, yes, I'm an expert in business and tech. Do I know everything? No. But I know enough, and I know how to find the tools and resources I need in order to get the answers that I may not have. And so then I did a whole podcast episode on that, because it's true. We always are afraid to ask that question, more so answer that question and be labeled as an expert, because we feel like it holds such high value and standards that if we say that and we mess up once, then we're screwed, and that we're no longer credible. And it's like, no, a real expert is somebody who is passionate about something, who knows what they're talking about, who does the research, and more importantly, knows how to find the tools and resources they need when they don't have the answers. You know, and so it just really struck a chord with me, and it was very interesting to be able to just flat out say, yes, I'm an expert in business and tech. You know, because I've never really said that before out loud.
I know, it feels good, right? You know, thinking about, like, where engagement is going, people want, reality shows do so well because we want to see the behind the scenes.
Right.
And so a lot of these entrepreneurs are figuring out, like, that whole Wizard of Oz thing of, like, hiding behind the curtain and making everybody think everything's perfect is so, like, 90s at this point. It's like, nobody's interested in that anymore. I want to see people that are like me.
Yep.
I want to see people write an email and be like, that one time I accidentally hit send, right? So for the people who are thinking about keeping their failures in the closet, Russell, you call it one step ahead, right? But then Russell Brunson calls it one chapter ahead.
Yeah.
As long as you're just one pace ahead of somebody, which this is the beauty of the internet, is like, we can reach so many more people. So I don't have to go after the people who want me to be perfect. I can find those people that are just looking to get to that next chapter and you can help them. Those people want to know your failures, because if I see that you failed and you're still going, oh my God, there's hope for me.
Right.
You know, people want to see like me. So yep. If you have failures, like, bring them out of the closet, like, air it out. People, failure is going to be so hot in like, you know, 2 months. Everybody's going to be talking about their failures. Yep. You know, it's going to be a hot topic. But it's not anything to be scared of. If we're all supposed to be failing 9 out of 10 times, but you can never talk about it, only 1 out of 10 people can talk about it.
Right.
That's old. That's old school.
Yep. I agree. So let me ask you, and you've probably already answered this, but what's one thing that you would, what's one piece of advice you would give to someone who's probably just starting out or is thinking about getting into entrepreneurship?
So there are, everything that you ever want to know about anything is on the internet for free. It's out there. All you have to do is just find it. And a lot of people will give it out as freebies or lead magnets in exchange for email address. That's what you're paying with, is an email address. So take advantage of all the free trainings out there. Like, I know one of the girls, the group that I'm in, her signature challenge that you would have to pay normally to be in the group, she's giving it out for free in her free group. It's a legitimate challenge. And if it doesn't work out and it ends up to be a scam, it doesn't matter because you didn't pay anything for it. So whatever. At this point, you have time on your hands. So you have the time to look for the resources.
Yeah.
As you get busier in your business, you have less time, more money. Then you can start hiring the coaches or doing whatever you need to help people get you there faster. But if you're just starting out, use your time because it is money, but right now it may not translate to anything, but it's something so valuable. And I spent the last like decade using my time to learn these lessons, and now it's going to start translating, you know, now that I've moved into this next chapter of my life. But I know there's people who are going to be like, no, there's scams and everything out there, which there are. But find the people that resonate with you and, like, speak your language.
Yep.
And the people who do really well, so this is the thing. Entrepreneurs are learning the art of, like, a funnel, right? So they can give you something for free. And that free, whatever that they're giving you, that free training, could get you 1 or 2 clients.
Right.
And then you can continue to learn more from that person. So if you can't afford trainings or anything like that, with the internet, there's no excuses. I mean, you can learn anything that you want to learn. So work through, if you really like somebody, work through their funnel. Start off with whatever free thing they're offering.
Yes.
And then move up to their paid program. And then move into like mentorship. Like it's just so easy. It's just so easy at this point.
It's so true, and I agree. Like finding 1 to 3 influencers that you connect with online, check their blogs, check their Facebooks, check their anything on social media, because everything's going to be a little bit different. And podcasts. I'm so obsessed with podcasts. It's free education in your pocket. Anybody can access it on their phone or on their computer. You don't have to go anywhere. Like, it's amazing. And being able to connect, and every little thing will give you a new idea or will help build on the ideas that you have. So, yeah, that's what I did when I started out, too, is I used my time to search for everything.
Yeah.
I'm very cautious about how I spend my money, or try to be at least. And I'm just one of those that I want to know, I want to figure it out. Even if I don't have to do it myself, I want to figure it out so that I know later on when I hire somebody, I'm not being screwed over.
Right.
Because it can happen, especially on the web, you know, a lot. So, yeah, I think that's great advice. Thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Dive deeper into the conversation with this guest as well as others by going to yestoentrepreneurship.com/podcast. Over there, you will find a list of all the previous episodes and bonus material for each guest. I hope
that you'll continue to share out this podcast, and please be sure to leave a review in iTunes and subscribe so that way others can discover this show and be able to realize they are not alone and that they have somebody they can count on to provide value and motivate and inspire them to keep moving forward. Together, we can make it happen. And like I always say, teamwork equals success. So go out there and do something great, because why not?